Manchester City have won the Premier League.
Goals against Emil Heskey. Could it be five? Yes, it is.
Frank de Boer seeking out Dennis Bergkamp. Oh, that's brilliant! Oh, that's wonderful!
Welcome to the V2 Football Podcast. I'm Chris Lappin, and joining me this week, I've got Shane Lees.
Hey, Arkin.
I'm Richard Hewardson.
Good evening.
You both well?
Yeah. I've got a horrible suntan from Reading Festival. I don't like heat. It was too hot.
I miss festivals. I haven't been to one since 2010.
Everyone's on ketamine now. I didn't know this at the time. Mm. It turns out everyone's on ketamine. I just went around making horse noises at them all.
Reading Leeds as well. So that's a poor show. Like Reading Leeds was always quite a decent festival. They didn't really have people thinking they were needing horse tranquilizers back in the day.
I went to Leeds 2000 to 2005, and then in 2008, and all the years
I
tried to download.
I did Leeds in 1992 when it was the famous Nirvana one.
Wow.
I think it just sounds like a very poor championship game, to be honest with you.
I went to the one Leeds 2001 where they wouldn't let Eminem off the put into Britain, so they replaced them with Daphne and Celeste.
Oh, I did that one as well.
Yeah.
Daphne and Celeste were on full Slipknot, weren't they?
They lasted two songs before they got bottled off. Right, so I hope you enjoyed the Hipster's Guide to the Europe and our SummerSlam review last week. So I thought rather than do news, we'll catch up on some of the stories we missed last week. So we'll start with Rooney retiring from international duty.
Good.
Good?
Yeah, okay, he's been a good servant for England. He's done it over the years. He's an all-time leading top goal scorer. There's the debate that we've had a million times.
Yeah.
Was Rooney a great and all of that kind of thing. Frankly, at this point, it's good that he's retired because he's no longer a story about England, which is, I think, kind of what a new generation of England players needs, is the chance to find their own stars and, you know, their own talisman players, rather than every single time it's about, should Rooney be being called up? Is he your best player? Is he going to score goals in the big games? We've got a chance to just move on now. Whether or not you like Wayne Rooney, whether or not you think he's been great for England or poor for England, I think that's a good thing at this point.
I do question the timing of it, because, you know, he'd moved back to Everton. Obviously, he's going to get more game time now at Everton than he was at United in the next coming year. You know, he'd hit the ground running, scored two goals for Everton. There was clamour in some of the media for him to actually get back into the England squad. And then suddenly, he then announced his retirement. I wonder if something happened behind the scenes where there was actually discussion going on about him coming back to England. And Southgate turned round to him and said, listen, Rooney, your time's gone. We don't want you back in the squad. But we'll give you the opportunity to make the announcement. You know, we won't embarrass you and say you're not going to make it into the squad, but you can just say you're retiring.
To be honest, I think even if that has happened, I think that's completely understandable, because the other side of it could have been when you could have realised he was going to be England captain, but wasn't going to be a starter anymore. And maybe for a player of his calibre, he didn't want that. Maybe he didn't want to go out as an England bit part player, but go out as the player who was starting for England. I think it can go either way in terms of what caused it. I think the result of it is a good thing. It doesn't seem like there's any animosity from him in terms of like a really forced retirement that he's not happy about. And at the same time, it's given England a good opportunity to kind of move on from the previous failure generation.
Rooney now, like, obviously, he's probably got a couple of years left in him, like one or two years at Everton. Either retires there or goes off and has a year in the US or something. Hmm. What does he do post-career?
Post Everton.
Well, after Everton, what's he do then?
I can see him retiring Everton.
In Everton, or?
I think he just...
he's not been renowned as the brightest player in the world.
I can't see him
I can't see realistically him being a great manager, because you tend to have something of a brain for that. He's clearly not a moron.
He's got an excellent football brain.
Yeah, but... I'm not sure. That doesn't sound like one that will actually go that well.
I haven't heard him start to get coaching badges or anything. I can't see him get.
He can't spell his own name. How can he fill out the form?
I think if he has a good season with Everton and we've got a couple of strikers short, he might still get a nod to go to the World Cup, possibly.
I bloody well hope not.
I could see him being involved in the England setup still, but now within a sort of a... Like they sort of did with Gary Neville straight after he retired.
Like
I think he'll still be involved
like
in the...
Head coach or assistant manager type thing.
Yeah.
To be honest, I hope he isn't in that kind of capacity, simply because I think the problem we have with the England generation, it's okay if you're getting back the legends who have been really good in English, have been really positive, are associated with positive things with England. Gary Lineker, great example, he's associated with positive things with England. Even Alan Shearer is associated with positive things with England. Rooney isn't. He's associated with negative things. He's associated with a generation of players who should have achieved and didn't. And I feel like we just kind of need to fully move on from that now. Because we have got very, very talented young players. We've got players who are going to be coming into their prime in the next few years who could be very, very good, if not some of the best players in their position in the world. I just feel like we need to kind of start anew with that rather than clinging on to some previous things because, oh, he's a big name, almost kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Right, and also we missed the Champions League draw. Hero, I'm guessing as you're a hipster, you're most looking forward to Group G, which has Monaco, Porto, Besiktas, and Leipzig in it.
Yeah, Monaco obviously have had sort of a bit of a fire sale this summer, which I'm sure we'll come on to later in the show. But they've bought in well, I would say, prior to already selling most of their players. Most people don't realise that basically right at the start of summer they bought in all the replacements for all the players that they knew were going to be going.
Yeah.
Leipzig, with a surprise package in Germany last year, managed to keep hold of Keita until next summer. They look a decent side. Yeah, I think it's not on paper the strongest group, but it's probably one of the more exciting ones.
That was the most boring one by far. Group D, Barca, Juve, Olympiacos, Sporting Lisbon. That table could finish exactly the same as it started alphabetically. that's just a crap group for ties.
Well, from a fan's point of view, you want three good sides in the group. I'm sure from a manager's point of view, you want two.
You've got Atletico Madrid, Chelsea and Roma. That looks like it could be a good group. Bayern Munich, PSG, okay, Celtic and Anderlecht are a bit boring, but from a British point of view, it's going to be quite interesting to see Celtic up against PSG and Bayern. Mm. You have got good groups. Even the likes of United's group, I think Benfica are a lot better than people give credit, and CSKA Moscow tend to always give teams a bit of a hard go at it, so I think that could be quite an interesting group as well.
I think the Spurs group's the best one.
Are Dortmund going to be as much of a force? So we'll get on to Dembele later, but without...
You look at who Dortmund have bought, and again, they've bought in some decent players over the summer. The loss of Dembele will be a big one, but they've done well. I wouldn't rule them out, especially with like Spurs with their Wembley hoodoo.
They're a little bit like a better version of us, aren't they, Dortmund? They always lose their best players eventually, might cling on to them for a year longer. They always lose them eventually, but then they replace them with someone who no one really is that sure about and turns out to be even better than the person they just sold.
Yeah.
I think whenever I see like Dortmund, oh, they're losing this player, and then they sneakily go in and sign someone, you go, oh, hang on, he looks like he'll be pretty damn good. Like, I think it was last year, was it Mark Bartra they bought in last year? That was what I was looking at, because they bought him for a really low fee. I was thinking, Christ, how the hell have they got away with that one with nobody realising that? So I think they just consistently do it, and they're one of those teams now that seems to have such a good idea of what kind of players they're after. Because they're so competent in their own system, you can never really rule them out.
Yeah, and you look coach-wise, that you know they lost Klopp, brought in Tuchel. He went in the summer, and doesn't seem to have affected them. They're joint top already of the Bundesliga. Played 1-2, both quite convincingly. They're just a machine on how they replace and keep getting better.
It's now time for the Premier League Performance of the Week. Hero, who was nominated this week?
Okay, so for the Player of the Week, we've got Mane versus Arsenal, Willian versus Everton, Richie versus West Ham, and Schmeichel versus Man United. Willian came last.
Oh,
know what Shane was doing there. Schmeichel got 20%. Richie got 23%. And Planet was the outright winner with 49%.
What are we laughing at? I don't understand.
It sounds like a car's driving through your room.
Oh, yeah, there's someone's driving a motorbike outside.
Yeah.
Windows open. Yeah, money. I agree with that. Good decision, viewers.
Yeah, I nominated Mane.
I think Mane has done exceptionally well since he joined Liverpool. But I think it's one of those, a bit like Coutinho, where he's been put on such a high pedestal.
Well, I think people are underestimated. I think people just see him and see speed, but he has got a really good footballing brain, I think.
He's an annoyingly good player. I really don't want to say it, but he is. I genuinely do think Lallana's kind of crap and that he's terribly overrated. Mane is actually quite good. I'm quite disappointed we've not replaced him at all. He's turning into a more complete player because it's not just like he's quick, because he always had that. You're right, he's got more of a footballing brain. He knows when to make the runs and when not to make the runs. He knows when to cut inside and when not to cut inside, and that's starting to be the big difference. You think if Coutinho does go, or even if just because he's not gone, he plays a lesser part in this season than goes next year, a bit like Schneidlin for us when we eventually sold him, Mane's their best player after that. Who else would you put up there as the player that's going to really drag them forward and get them the goals and the assists?
I think he's the right player for Klopp. I think that's why he's doing so well. I don't know if he would be the right player for other teams.
Yeah, he wouldn't fit at all in a team like Man United, for instance. That would not be a natural fit at all. But I think you look at him, I think he is quite comparable in the way he moves and the way he likes to attack space to Marco Reus, which is obviously Klopp's big thing when he was playing with Dortmund, was the inside forwards. So I think it was quite a natural place for him to be with Klopp, and he's definitely bringing out the best in him. In terms of where he can go from here, I hate to say it, I could see within 2-3 years him being around Madrid. I think he is very talented, and if he keeps improving at the rate he is, I think he'll peak very high.
The one thing that's really surprised me with Liverpool in this transfer window is obviously like they kept on refusing to sell Coutinho. I'd have got rid of Coutinho, moved Firmino back to a number 10 role, which he was much better at when he was over at Hoffenheim in Germany. His assist record over there in the number 10 role was the best in Germany. And then, like, go in all guns blazing for Aubameyang, who's wanted to move away from Dortmund for a couple of seasons.
Yeah.
I think it was with Coutinho, it was always just a bit more of a line in the sand rather than thinking practically, because 140 million, Jesus Christ, he's not worth that. 140 million, are you kidding me? I think that was just a case of them going, we will not sell if we do not feel we have to, and that doesn't matter who you're bidding for at this point. If we're seen to be selling this player to this club at this time, we are confirming ourselves as a club that has to sell our players rather than the actual practicalities of it currently.
You get rid of a player that you've sort of got surplus in that position anyway, and you move then one of your other players that's having to play as a makeshift striker when he isn't really an out-and-out striker in Firmino, put him back into a position he's more suited into, and then bring in one of the best strikers in the world that already has a relationship with your manager, knows exactly the style of play that he wants. You turn a team that's probably going to be about fourth or fifth into one that probably could challenge for the title.
Yeah, and they'd probably still be in profit in doing that. I do agree, practically, they should have done something like that, but I think for them it was a lot more about establishing the narrative, turning the story into Liverpool don't sell rather than Liverpool pushed into selling by Barcelona. It's the same what Southampton are doing. Practically, we should have sold Van Dijk. We should have sold him. £70 million, £80 million we're getting rumoured for. We should have sold at that amount and said, OK, he's a very good centre-back. He could be one of the best in the world one day. But if he's going to be one of the best in the world, he's not going to do it at Southampton, and we've got decent centre-backs currently. So I've said, OK, sell Van Dijk. But it's about establishing the narrative of, we don't have to sell, we're not going to be the big team's, you know, fishing pond anymore, look somewhere else. So I think it's much more about creating the story, even at the cost of being immediately practical. I think it's kind of long-term thinking rather than the short-term, actually this could do us some good, which isn't necessarily a good thing, I will say.
Do you think with the Spanish window closing tomorrow, they could see how they are tomorrow, and if they feel they could continue, they could have a decent season without Coutinho, they could then let him go to Barcelona? But just
yeah, see. I mean, that was very similar to what we did with Schneidlin the season before we sold him to United. We knew we were going to lose him within a year. We had him handling his transfer request and all those kinds of things, so we decided that his role would be less important in the team. That wasn't just playing less, that was making our team shape and structure much less dependent upon Schneidlin's position. Mm. So by the end of that year, we didn't really look like we needed him all that much, and we sold him, and it was a pretty damn smooth transition, all things considered. We did that quite well. I think he was that important. He was as important to us, Schneidlin, as Coutinho is to Liverpool. So I think they could go ahead and do that. I think he's a very good player, Coutinho. He's not as good as he's currently being hyped up to be. He's also not worth the money that he's potentially being sold for. So I would have sold him, and if they're going to do it next season, then they're in an even better position to line up their, you know, replacements and so forth. So that would make a lot of sense if they did that. But on the other hand, it's Barcelona, and they don't really hang around. If they get rejected a few too many times, they might just look elsewhere. This time next season, they could be thinking, right, screw Coutinho. Look at the season Dybala's just had. He's incredible. Let's go and get him in.
With Liverpool, there's a bit of a concern with them. Like, they obviously had to put in their apology to Southampton for trying to tap up Van Dijk. They're probably on a last warning from the FA.
Yeah.
They're thinking if Coutinho goes now and we don't get an immediate replacement in, that, you know, there's a possibility at some point in the near future they're going to get a transfer ban.
Yeah, that was probably playing into the heads. I think I've mentioned it before in this podcast. I was very glad when Southampton put their foot down on that one, because we've had agents coming out in the last few weeks saying tapping up is just a routine part of football now. I can't believe it's got to the point now where we are just completely accepting of it. So I think if this has genuinely made a bit of an effect and made clubs like Liverpool turn around and think, actually, we can't quite throw our weight around in the same way we did before, that's good, because this transfer window did not need another 140 million ridiculous money transfer. It's already getting to the point of ridiculous where I can easily see a transfer window changing within 2 years, not being the same at all. I mean, I think we're going on to a different kind of topic here. There's been those discussions, I think people will probably have seen them in the BBC, about what a transfer window could turn into. For me, that's a disaster if they want to turn it into something like that, because that just means the little teams are screwed completely. But it's good that if we can keep the current transfer system, if we actually stick to the whole tapping up thing, if we say that's a proper line in the sand and clubs can't go around doing it, then that's good. And I think if that's changed Liverpool's approach and, you know, Klopp's approach and so forth, then good. It's all for the better of football.
The problem is that whatever rules that the FA, UEFA, FIFA, etc. put in place regarding tapping up, the clubs will always find a way around it. They'll always bend. Like, it's like financial fair play. You know, they'll make a player an ambassador and all that crap.
Yeah, no, I can get the whole, you know, they'll always find a way around it, and that's true, but at the same time, murderers will always try and find a way around it. Doesn't mean we should make murder legal. People, you know, financial fraud, people will always try and find a way around it. We don't put the rules there because we know they won't get broken. We put the rules there so when they are broken, and when we can say they've been broken, we punish the shit out of those clubs to ward off other people from doing it. The whole thing about, you know, if you kill someone and go to prison, it's not supposed to be there to just punish the individual, it's to make everyone else think, God, I probably shouldn't kill people because I don't want to spend the rest of my life in prison. It's a warning system. I think that's what we need to far more effectively do. If we have big clubs routinely getting punished for it, they'll stop doing it. If you get three of the big Premier League clubs getting told, right, transfer ban this season, well done, you pissed us off far too many times now, they'll stop doing it. Other clubs will stop doing it, so they'll realise they can't get away with it anymore. I mean, for those who don't know what the proposed changes are, the transfer window gets replaced by an independent tribunal who determine the worth of every individual player based on the league, the team, what their value is to that particular team, their position, their goals, and so on and so on and so on. And they decide the price, and there's essentially kind of almost a cap in place on this, which for me, it sounds on the face of it like a fairly sensible thing. Then you remember the money in football won't change. This isn't capping the amount of money that's going on in football. That will stay exactly the same. All that will mean is that the smaller clubs have zero power to keep control of their players from the bigger clubs, because then everyone has a mandatory release clause that everyone will know. That just takes completely the power away from the clubs with less money and puts it entirely into the hands of the clubs with money. So that will be, as a Southampton fan, as a smaller team fan, absolutely disastrous. But at the same time, the current system can't go on as it is. And I just think all we really need to do is refine the system so we're actually sticking to the rules we put in place.
Right, and who was nominated for Villa of the Week?
I think possibly Shane for his liking football transfers to murderers.
It's called conflation, damn it.
But the actual ones were Conte. Not quite sure why he was in that, but I think it was for mugging off.
Shane nominated him.
Oh yeah, I nominated Conte for humiliating all journalists and their Chelsea in crisis narrative.
Mike Dean for his refereeing performance at the weekend. Miguel Britos and all of Arsenal. and that is just all of Arsenal. Arsenal, the team, the club, the chairman, Wenger, the fans, Arsenal TV, just Arsenal as a whole. And that won.
Oh my God, Arsenal fans just always want to win polls, isn't it?
Yeah. And what, they did come fourth.
At some point today, it was neck and neck between Arsenal and Britos. But then Arsenal ran away with it in the end, I think, wasn't it?
Well, yeah, they absolutely.
I would have personally picked Mike Dean because I think the rule in place about if you celebrate with the fans, you get booked is just dumb shit.
The rule is there to protect the elderly and the young fans, isn't it?
I don't care. It's stupid. It's a stupid rule. We're talking about, you know, football becoming ever more separated from the fans, becoming more of a business. Football's not a business. It's about passion. It's a sport. And so you kind of want to encourage that. You want to encourage the fans and the players to interact more, even if it's on that level, because when it connects them together, it creates things like more loyal players and so on. It's a bad thing. And to be honest, again, to do the absolutely ridiculous conflation, for people like Mike Dean, who are referees, who are being told, this is the law, you've got to enforce it, I think sometimes we need to turn around and say, it's a shit law. No. If we've got, you know, people in the military being told, you go and shoot the civilians now, I expect them to turn around and go, hang on, no. Yes, no, it's a conflation, but the whole point is, if you're someone who has to enforce bad laws, you are bad by default. You can turn around and say, actually, this is dumb.
From Mike Dean's point of view, he'll get banned from next week, so he's kind of protecting himself.
If they all start doing it. If everyone stops paying their taxes, they're not going to be able to make us pay our taxes. If they start consistently going, this is just stupid, we're getting players sent off for no reason whatsoever.
What did you think about Alan Shearer's suggestion that if he was going to book Sterling, there should have been six other City players booked as well, if he was going to enforce that law?
Well, exactly. If you're doing it to the letter of the law, then you book all of them for doing it. And of course, he's not going to do it because he knows that's practically ridiculous. Why can't he just extend it to the other one person who did it and say, yeah, no, actually, this is practically... If it's ridiculous for the other five, it's ridiculous for one. Yeah. It's a silly law and it doesn't need to be in place.
Well, at least Mike Dean didn't cut the match short through fears of not wanting to miss his plane trip. A Chinese referee cuts a Chinese League One game short because the area's nearest airport only had one flight a day on his preferred route. First half was 40 minutes long. He didn't bother with a half time break. Went straight into the second half, and that was 38 minutes. And then he rushed off as soon as the match was finished.
Jesus Christ, could he have not started a faux fight to have got the game abandoned or something? He could have been smarter about that. He could have done what about the person that cricket did today and fired a crossbow bolt onto the field. That would have suspended the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Chinese FA are apparently investigating. Alright, so in part two we'll be discussing Dembele, Oxlade-Chamberlain, Sanchez. But first, it's the first round of Sunday Pitch. Hero, you are again, your question master. And I hope I do better than last week.
So, as it is deadline day, these are basically deadline day purchases over the years.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, God.
For each question, each answer, you've got four chances. So, okay. If you get it on the first one, you get 4 points.
Yeah.
Second, 3 points. Third, 2 points. And last one, 1 point. You get to choose which of the categories you'd like the clue in.
Okay.
So the choices are the year it was done in, the selling club, the buying club, and the transfer fee.
Cool.
Okay.
Can you try and keep your own score in mind as we go through this?
Right, I'll cut this back. I haven't got a pen.
I'm going to get up a calculator on my laptop.
Can't see any pens. So do you both understand that?
Yeah.
More or less.
Okay, so Chris, do you want to go first? So your choices are year, selling club, buying club, or fee.
I'll go for year.
2011.
I'm meant to guess a player. I can't remember what I meant to.
Yeah, you got to guess the player.
Okay.
If you guess and you're wrong, then you don't get any points.
Okay.
Can't carry on.
Selling club.
Pardon, sorry?
Selling club.
Selling club was Ajax.
What was the other two options?
Buying club and the transfer fee.
Buying club.
Liverpool.
Babel.
Incorrect. Oh. That was quite a few years before 2011.
Was it?
Yeah. It was...
It was Suarez.
Yes, for 20 million.
How's that get a zero?
Make a note of your zero.
Which do you want to go for, Shane?
Well, it's not going to be Ryan Babel, so I'm going to go with the year.
Okay, the year for this one is 2008.
Ooh, I want the buying club, please.
The buying club was Manchester United.
Oh, I've got enough to go on there. Who did Man United buy in 2008?
Well, that would be the answer.
Well, I mean, I'm assuming it was several players.
This is deadline day only, though.
Oh, yeah.
Deadline day only.
Oh, I know this one.
Was it Dimitar Berbatov?
It was. You
guessed. Yes. I was torn between him and Saha.
Okay, back to you, Chris.
I'll go with buying club.
Buying club on this was Arsenal.
And then selling club.
Real Madrid.
Ozil?
It was.
Clever.
You'll go, Shane.
Wait, did I get 2 points or 3 points for the last one?
You got 3 points.
Okay. There we go.
So it's 3-3 as it stands, but...
I want the year again. I like year. Year's good.
Okay. 2015, a recent one.
Ooh. Buying club.
Man United again.
Oh, man. Why am I getting all the United ones? 2015. Okay, it definitely wasn't Fellaini. I know that. I know it wasn't Fellaini. I really hope you've not been a proper hipster here. Because I know who the two players you signed were. Probably you've not gone for a Welshman. Was that Anthony Martial?
Yes, it was.
I know the other one you could have gone for was that shit Reagan Paul, who for some reason on FIFA 17 starts every game for Man United when it's controlled by the AI.
It wasn't Reagan Paul.
Good.
So you get another 3 points for that one. Chris, back to you.
Buying club again then.
Chelsea.
And selling club.
PSG.
Ooh.
Yeah.
2016.
So who did he buy last season? Mine's gone blank. David Luiz.
Correct! 2 points.
It's going through all the
every fame. Person listening to this was screaming David Luiz.
And at the time, everybody laughed at that transfer.
Yeah, it turns out he's one of the best centre-backs in the world, hasn't it?
I was going through every position except centre-back. I was like, midfield, foot shorts.
Back to you, Shane.
I want
an extra one in hand.
I want year.
Yeah, 2015.
Oh, we're going recent again. Give me buying club. I like this. This is a good system.
Chelsea.
Is it 15 or 16?
15.
15. Don't know Chelsea that well. I should do. My dad's a fan. What the hell did they bring in? I swear they didn't bring anyone in on transfer deadline day then. Well, they brought... It's not Ginobili, is it?
Is that your guess?
Yeah, Ginobili.
Incorrect.
Oh, he was earlier, wasn't he?
It was Cuadrado. Fiorentina for 24 million. So this opens it up back to you now, Chris. Okay. You're only 1 point behind, and it's you've had equal goes.
Okay, buying club.
Manchester City.
Rubinho.
You're just going out there for Rubinho?
Well, I guess.
Yeah.
It's incorrect.
That's the scenes.
I was actually looking for, it was 2012, signed from Benfica, Garcia. Good punt, though.
You're shaking with Rubinho, that was bold.
Your go, Shane.
One year, please.
Is this the last go?
Yeah. No, you've got one more. Well, you've got one more after this round. Okay. So, year is, again, a recent one, 2016.
Let's go with selling club this time. Let's change it up.
Newcastle.
Oh, shit, I probably should have changed it up. I don't even remember if Newcastle got... Did they get relegated then? Newcastle. I said selling club, didn't I?
Yep.
Shit. I'm now really... I've confused myself. I shouldn't have changed my system.
Can I guess or do you
know? I genuinely can't think of any Newcastle players. Hang on.
I know.
No, you don't. Shush, you don't know. Wouldn't have been him. He's still there. That was dumb. Sissoko?
Correct.
That's going to go for Andy Carroll.
Tottenham. To Tottenham for $30 million.
That's free.
Your last one in this round, Chris.
I can't win.
You're on
5 points,
aren't you?
I've got 5 points, Shane's got 10.
I've got 9.
Oh.
So you can draw. You've got to get it in one, though.
Okay. Buying club.
Buying club, Liverpool.
Go hard or go home.
Andy Carroll.
No. It was Sacco from PSG 2014.
Yeah, I was actually kind of rooting for you to get that then.
And just for the glory in this round, if you want to go for it, Shane.
Yeah, I like to go for it. Yeah.
Yeah, way back this one, 2003.
Bloody hell. Buying club.
Chelsea.
Oh, wait, actually, no. Hang on. I feel like I've got something here. Not AIDS. 2003, who did they buy? Because this was just before the Mourinho year, wasn't it?
Ranieri's last year.
Yes, it was. You have already won this, so you don't need to...
I want to win at a canter. Although I genuinely have no idea. Let's just go for a really left-field guess. Azier Del Horno.
No, it was Makélélé.
Yeah, I should have got that.
He was back then. That was an inspired purchase.
Real Madrid,
was
it Real Madrid?
Yes, it was from Real Madrid. $16 million, which back then was quite a lot of money, but worth every penny.
How much Makélélé would be worth today?
Oh, $100 million now at least.
Drinkwater's over $40 million.
When Danny Drinkwater's going for how much then?
Yeah, Makélélé's a bit better than Drinkwater. There's not much in it, but you know.
Congratulations, Shane.
Cheers.
Hello, this is Adam Murgo, and you are listening to the V2 Football Podcast.
Dembélé has left Borussia Dortmund to Barcelona for $96.8 million, rising to $135.5 million. So last season, Dembélé scored 10 goals and divided 21 assists for Dortmund.
He's an absolute quality player.
Yeah.
He doesn't know which foot he's meant to be best with. I don't know if anyone saw that his kickabout over Barcelona.
It is a lot of money, though, isn't it? For a player you don't actually know if he's going to be, you know, that good yet. He could be Raheem Sterling, but French.
Is he 2021?
I think you got a bit more with Dembélé, because he was Young Player of the Year in France the year before. Then he moves to Germany and proves himself yet again. So it's not like he's been at one club and done it for 1 year. He's done it at two different clubs in two different leagues.
Didn't Raheem Sterling win European Golden Boy? I mean, it's a lot of money for a 20-year-old. That's, you're 20 years old, he could break his leg this year and be shit forever. That is far too early to be able to decide he's worth, he's the second most expensive player of all time, behind what will eventually be Mbappe. That's a lot of, I'm not convinced that's a smart signing. He'll probably go ahead and be the best player in the world. Now that I've said that, because all of my predictions come unassailably true. But I feel like that is the stupider transfer than Neymar. Neymar is genuinely world-class. So him being £200 million in today's current transfer market makes sense in its own bizarre, perverted way. But Dembele is... I mean, if you were compiling a list of top 10 wingers, does he get in it? And not just being a hipster going, yeah, he's in it because he's amazing. Does he get... I'm not sure. It's a lot of money for potential, I think. Yes, he's clearly high quality. He's clearly a very, very good player. But... what we're saying is that he's basically top five players in the world. You've got to be at that point to be going for that kind of money. You've got to be top five players in the world, is he?
I think the thing is, though, that they're buying players now that the money that's going in is in for the 21-year-olds and younger, because they're looking at them as a 10-year investment.
Yeah, but he's not a 10-year investment. Neymar's supposed to be a 10-year investment, and he pissed off, didn't he? And the thing is, we look at the current transfer spending, and everyone keeps saying it can't sustain, or it's only got a few more left in it. What happens if in 3 years' time the transfer market is radically different, and then Dembele decides, this isn't really working for me, I want to make a big money move, but the big money is no longer the big money anymore? It just seems mad for a player who, personally, I wouldn't put in the top 25 in the world. Not wingers, I'm talking all players top 25. You're looking at that kind of money at one of the best players in the world, and they've got something to be.
Having a player that's going to be one of the best in the world in 3-4 years' time, and will continue to be up there.
Future-proof
themselves.
Yeah, it's so much money on could. That's a lot of money on something you have no idea what will actually pan out. His attitude could be shit. Look at the way he moved. His attitude could be absolutely terrible. We don't really know that yet. He could get horribly injured. You don't know, that's totally random. Yes, a player who's older could also get horribly injured, but at that age, it can be completely destroying. Look at Luke Shaw, it's basically just broken him. It's just a mental amount of money for a player who is not one of the best in the world. It's stupid.
I would side with the clubs who they themselves probably have invested a bit more time and their money on knowing what they want to put the money on.
Oh yeah, all the clubs who spend a lot of money on players know a lot about what they're doing. Sissoko! Musa Sissoko, cough, cough. Just because they're doing it. I always hate it when people say, oh, you can do any better, so you can't criticise. Of course I can criticise. I don't have to be able to be doing it to know that it's fucking mental. You watch a game of football and you go, oh good, Raheem Sterling just ran into the post. What a quality player he is, but I couldn't do that, so I can't criticise. I can criticise this because it's mental. It's a mental amount of money. I know, people are saying the money in football has gone up, so the transfers have to go up. True, but £140 million on potential, that's insane.
Liverpool have completed the £35 million signing of England midfielder Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain from Arsenal. He reportedly rejected Chelsea earlier this week because they wanted to play him as a wing-back, but Liverpool have said that he'll play in the centre midfield role.
This, for me, is more of a ridiculous transfer than Dembele.
Ridiculous. Chamberlain going to Liverpool or that.
£35 million on a lad that, what position is he?
And on his last year of contract. This is another one that's insane.
And how many goals has he scored in 6 years?
Nine.
In 6 years?
Yep, 9 goals. And it's also, it doesn't even make sense on a personal level, because the one thing I'm pleased about is that he didn't decide to just go to another London club.
Well, he supported
Liverpool. I'm quite pleased about that. But on the other hand, he's gone from a club that's maybe top four, where he's going to be a bit part player because there's better players than him in every position he can play, to another club that might be top four, where they've got better players in every position that he might play. Make a whole ton of sense. And Liverpool have gone and spent £35 million on a player who's probably not first team.
Yeah, well, he's gone there because apparently Klopp says he's going to play him in central midfield. Ahead of who?
If I was Oxlade-Chamberlain, and I was thinking to myself, right, my career has gone a bit shit. It's not going as well as it could be. and I need to be smart now because I want to have a future in the England team. I want to be playing regular football in the Premier League. I want to be a good player and eventually get his chance to be recognised as one of the best in my position, at least in the England team. So I'd be thinking, I've got to take a step back here. It's not going to happen at Arsenal. I'm not going to be first team at Chelsea, even if I'm playing wing-back. Victor Moses is actually surprisingly good. So probably not Chelsea. United wouldn't get in that team there. Liverpool, probably still not realistically getting in that team there. City, definitely not getting in that team there. I've got to go a bit lower. I think Everton could maybe do that. I could maybe get in the first team there. Southampton could get in the first team there. West Ham, I could get in the first team there. Stoke, West Brom, I could get in the first team there. And these teams, look at the England squad. They're full of these kinds of players. So why hasn't he gone and done... I've almost followed in the footsteps of Ryan Bertrand. This isn't happening. I eventually have to make a decision about my career that's actually going to positively affect it. I've got to take a step back and use that as an opportunity to impress. Why has he just... He's made a move to the exact same club he's at. That's what he's done. And I know people can say Arsenal and Liverpool are different clubs. Yes, of course they're different clubs. But for him, his situation is exactly the same.
Yeah, but you look at the clubs lower down the league at the moment and like the quality of the midfielders that they're bringing in. Swansea get Renato Sanchez in on loan. West Brom get that Krychowiak from PSG.
Krychowiak.
He's going to be fun pronouncing all season. He can go down into the Championship and Wolves are getting Ruben Neves.
Yeah. Whatever his name is. Do you think that's somebody Arsenal should have been in for if they knew that they were going to get rid of Oxlade-Chamberlain?
I understand how he's got to Swansea because he's got the link up there with Paul Clements again, who was at Bayern. But how on earth other clubs weren't pushing to get him in on loan?
I think it actually does make sense if he's ended up at Swansea. If he's being any kind of a smart lad, he's thinking, big teams, I'm probably not going to be first team in there. You look at the other teams who are the bigger mid-table teams, Southampton, we don't need another central midfielder, we have too bloody many of them. Everton don't need another central midfielder, Stoke don't need another central midfielder, West Brom don't need another central midfielder.
Why would they then go in for Oxlade?
Because you play him as a bloody winger where he's actually playing.
Yeah, but he doesn't want to. He wants to play central midfield.
Well, slap him and tell him he's being a dumbass. Central midfield. What's in it? That's not what Barkley said. I want to go up front. Shush, Barkley. You're not actually very good.
Well, Walcott always wants to play striker, doesn't he? It's like, no,
yeah, he's not a striker. He's a winger. I hate it when players start doing that. It's like, oh, this player, this position I've been playing for the last 10 years. Actually, it turns out I'm better in goal. You can do it if you're Josh McGuinness and you were a goalkeeper and now you actually turns out you're good up front. But this is just dumb. Just dumb players who want to score more goals, basically.
Alright, so in part three we'll be continuing with all our Thursday's transfers. So now it's the second round of Sunday Pitch.
Okay, so following on from before, same rules.
Yep.
Just 10 different players this time. Shane to go first.
Okay.
Ooh, yeah, please.
Are we carrying on points, or is this a completely different?
No, we'll start it off afresh.
Okay, cool.
2004.
Oh, God. Buying club.
Manchester United.
What is it with you and Manchester United? You think you support them or something?
Was it 2004?
They tend to do... It doesn't look like they're doing it this year, but they do tend to go in for the deadline day deals.
Yeah.
2004... Wait, was that Rooney?
It was.
Yay.
From Everton, 27 million.
I was really tempted to say Veron, but I'm pretty sure he wasn't a deadline day deal.
No, he wasn't, because I went and watched him playing a pre-season friendly, because it was him and Van Nistelrooy got signed in the same summer.
Hmm.
So I watched their very first game for United.
One of them turned out good, at least.
Nice. I'll go with buying club.
Buying club, Manchester City.
Selling club.
Real Madrid.
Ooh.
Yeah.
2008.
Ooh.
Manchester City. Yeah.
Can I give you a clue? It's not it's not Sun Jihai. What a player he was.
Fee.
32 million.
Is it Rubinho?
It was.
Yeah, You guessed it too randomly before.
Was that really 9 years ago?
Yeah, it was the same day as United bought Berbatov.
Yeah.
Because City thought they would get Berbatov, didn't get him, and then they got Rubinho, who thought he was joining Chelsea.
Yeah.
What a time to be alive.
In the head that we talked about on the show, that's why I thought it can't have been that long ago. It's not, we just brought it up occasionally. Yeah, sorry, 1 point.
You'll go, Che?
Give me a year.
2011.
Oh, God. I will have a buying club, please. This is working for me.
Which, sorry?
Buying club.
Chelsea.
Oh, I don't like Chelsea. Sorry, Chelsea fans, I do like Chelsea. No, I don't.
I don't like Chelsea.
2011. Who was even manager in 2011? Is it Lukaku?
No.
Torres.
50 million.
I mean, I got the right position, didn't I?
Yeah, Champs here for you, Chris.
Sorry?
Champs here for you.
Yep, okay. Buying club.
Liverpool.
Yeah.
2011.
Andy Carroll.
Yes.
You bastard. That was just easy.
Signed from Newcastle. Well, that was an amazing day, though, is that they sold Torres for 50 million. Well, Andy Carroll for 35 million. But then just sort of sneaked in through the back door just a little Suarez. Player called Suarez for 22 million.
Yeah. Who would have known Andy Carroll would have gone on to be such a great?
Yeah. Andy Carroll cost 12.2 million more than Suarez.
And you said earlier that clubs that are making these transfers are smart. Now who feels stupid?
No, he was though at the time, Suarez, because he had a biting ban already over in Holland.
I know, I'm talking about
35
million for Carroll.
Carroll had a decent goal.
It's your go again.
I want year.
2013.
Okay, that's more like it. Now, give me a club that isn't fucking Chelsea. Buying club.
United, again.
Can you just look up the Man United and Chelsea pages and go, oh, let's have a look at these?
They tend to do a lot of big buys on the last day.
We do, no, we don't.
I tried to pick ones that you probably would have a chance at rather than Joe Bloggs from Fulham to West Ham.
Wait, was this Fellaini?
This was Fellaini.
Yes, I love Fellaini. He's my favourite United player.
Yeah, they could have bought him a few weeks earlier for 22 million. No, let's hold out to the last day and spend an extra five and a half.
Yeah, but Fellaini is your best target, man.
He's plan B.
He's the best plan B in the world.
I remember talking about that transfer on our first ever show. buying club?
Arsenal.
Arsenal. Selling club?
Man United.
Oh. Ah.
Yeah?
2014.
Would you like a hint? It's not Sun Jihai.
Is it Mikel Salvistra?
No, I think that was earlier on. Oh. That was about 2010 or something like that.
Was it that one?
What happened to Sun Jihai?
I don't know. I think nobody in the world has talked about him apart from you in the last 10 minutes, twice.
I want year.
Who was
2011. Ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-pow. Buying club.
Who was the answer? My one?
Danny Welbeck was yours.
Oh, yeah, obviously. Okay.
Sorry, you've had 2011.
Buying club.
Chelsea.
I'm not. Why am I only getting Chelsea and United? Can't you guys do your business at a better time?
I have Arsenal and Man City every time.
2011.
Just had 2011 and Chelsea. So what else happened on that day?
So this is the same day as Torres?
Yep.
That makes it difficult. Because it definitely wasn't Lukaku when I said him before. What did they buy? Oh, I know, my favourite Chelsea player in the entire world. David Luiz.
No. Morales.
I swear they bought David Luiz in the same window on the same day.
They might have done, but he wasn't from Liverpool, which was what could have been your next club.
I hate you.
Buying club?
Newcastle.
Year?
2005.
Selling club?
Real Madrid.
Ooh. 2005. Madrid. Oh, Michael Owen?
Correct! 17 million.
Is that 2 points?
How many points are you on?
I've got 6.
How many guesses do I have left?
2.
Okay, I can still do it, so I'm on 3.
Go on then.
I'm on six, I got two right, haven't I? Yes. I won the year
2007.
Selling club.
Portsmouth.
Ooh, that makes things interesting. Now I'm pretty sure it wasn't Frederick Pekanay, or whatever his fucking name is.
I think I know this if they like the club thinking.
Yeah, you've got one. You've just got this one left, and then Chris has only got one left. I do have a tiebreak one, though.
So this is who they sold.
Yeah.
Shit. I don't know. Who they sold over the years? Glenn Johnston.
Is that your guess?
No, Jermaine Defoe.
Is that your guess?
Yes, Jermaine Defoe.
Incorrect.
Was it Glenn Johnson?
Was it Bengali?
No. No. Oh. It was O'Neill to Middlesbrough, 6.75. Which...
Oh, that's a curveball!
In 2007, that was the most expensive deadline day transfer.
Wow.
Man.
Right, I'll have buying club.
Stoke.
It's Jesus. I guarantee you it's Jesus.
Selling club?
Porto.
It's not Jesus. It's not Joe Allen.
The player, I just can't think of it.
Oh, I know who it is. Oh, that one's easy. Why did I get fucking O'Neill?
Yeah.
2016.
Yeah, it is. What's his name?
Oh, that'll be the game.
I know
this one as well. This one's annoying.
Oh, I'm gonna have to give up. I can't think of his name.
You can have the fee as well, take it down to 1 point.
I can see his face, but I just can't think of his name.
If you're picturing Verbatov's face, it's not him.
No.
Guess Gary O'Neill, why not?
Give in?
Yeah.
Mbeula. Yeah. He's just gone as well.
Who was it?
Right, so for your tie break, I will give you bits of clues to yourselves, and you have to say your name if you want to jump in.
Okay.
Oh, gods.
Okay, so the transfer fee was 29 million. He moved in 2016.
Chris.
The buying club. Oh, yeah, go on.
The Di Maria.
Incorrect.
Does that mean it goes to me?
Yeah, you get the next clue exclusively.
Oh.
He moved to Leicester.
What's the year again?
2016.
It's Lamani. That's easy.
It's Lamani, yes.
Yes!
Congratulations, Shane.
My God. As if it was actually Di Maria, I'd have been pissed off, because he's a United fan, that's just cheating.
And that wasn't last year, that was... Was that 2014?
Hi, this is Dan Collymore, and you're listening to the V2 Podcast.
So congratulations to Shane, he's this week's son of the pitch. We'll finish on a few of today's transfer stories. PSG have signed Mbappe on loan with an option to buy. Is this just to get round financial fair play?
Yes.
Yes. It's sort of, I mean, I'll make the entire exact point I made about Dembele earlier in terms of, yes, he's again clearly very, very talented, but that is an absolute shit ton of money for a player who you're paying at least, I don't know, half of that on potential.
Mm. I'd say also, the riskier one than Dembele.
Yeah, also, Jesus Christ, how obviously dirty does this have to get before someone says, yeah, you're just cheating. You're just cheating at the football now. A year, we got him on loan for a year, didn't we? We're not buying him till next year, this is fine. Are you kidding me? Is it just because they're owned by an entire country that they just want to avoid a war? This is ridiculous. This is dumb. This is just painful.
Is it the same country that are going to be hosting one of the World Cups very soon?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, shocking that one. Oh, God, football is just going to shit, isn't it?
Right, Sanchez moved to Man City, looks to be off despite a £60 million bid. Looks to be because of the Lamella didn't join.
Thomas Lamar.
Yeah, Lamar, sorry. Which seems like that's a funny story.
That's the funniest thing. I've heard two rumours in regards to this. Firstly, that Lamar, like Arsenal went in for him a couple of bids beforehand, one for £50 million, one for £60 million, and both were rejected, so they came back in with £92 million. Monaco then accepted it, and Arsenal then suddenly realised, oh shit, we didn't want to actually offer that much. No, we didn't offer it, we're pulling out now. That's funny in itself. The other one is that Monaco accepted the £92 million, and Lamar turned around and said, I don't want to go to that shithole, and personally turned them down. Because he said he actually wanted to go to Liverpool, he didn't want to join a club in the Europa League.
Either of those things is hilarious, but Sanchez saying means my bold prediction of Arsenal winning the league is still slightly on. Yay.
It's not happening, is it?
Don't you worry, it's going to happen. Right up there with Ukraine winning the Euros, didn't score a single goal. They're guaranteed. I tell you what, all of the fans who hate Arsenal, you've got to love me, because any time I say something's going to happen, the total opposite does. So thanks to me, Arsenal are going down.
The thing as well with Sanchez, like Sanchez is clearly one of the best footballers in the English league, if not the best. But he when they played against Liverpool the weekend, he just looked like he did not care whatsoever for that club anymore. He was laughing as he got subbed off.
Yeah, it's a bit of a sad. I mean, it's a sad situation. I can kind of understand, because obviously, as a Southampton fan, we get robbed every single season, and we have various players demanding they have to leave, and they'll never play again, and they have a shop, and they don't actually play, and all of this kind of stuff. So I feel like that shit needs to be cut out as much as possible, because at the end of the day, they're employees on a contract. If I walked into Worksware and they said, Shane, have you got a bit of time to go for a meeting? We want to work on this project. And I'd said, no, I'm just going to sit here. It's going to sit here all day and maybe take a poo, a really long one. They'd fire me after a few days, probably one day. So I don't see why at a football club they can suddenly get away with this. I mean, at the very least, just stop paying them until they start doing their job properly.
Do you want to fly through these last couple? Sacco is having a medical at Palace. £26 million for Sacco.
Really? Even Sacco can't save Palace. They're going down. Thank God we didn't get De Boer.
West Brom.
£26 million for Sacco, though, in this modern day and age. Like when he's playing and he can be bothered, that's a decent buy. Mm.
Yeah, Llorente looks like he's joining Spurs and not rejecting Chelsea.
Who would have figured Fernando Llorente would be the most in demand player in this transfer window? Honestly, who had money on that? That's bigger odds than
is he
Leicester
as
win,
in
really?
Demand as Johnny Evans, who's reportedly West Brom off turned down 25 million bids from both Leicester and Arsenal in the last hour.
No, good for them, because I actually really rate Johnny Evans.
What's going on with all the players that are rejecting Chelsea?
I think they're probably looking at it and going, no, it's all going mental there, we don't want to be a part of it. Yeah. I have to say, I love Johnny Evans turning everyone else down, I think that's fantastic. Johnny Evans is actually a class player. He's really quite good.
Well, I was like Chamberlain turned down Chelsea. Who you just mentioned turned them down. And Ross Barkley's apparently turned them down.
Yeah,
these are the league champions.
Maybe all of the other players have said, right, we're getting really pissed off with Chelsea not playing their young players. Let's make them. Let's all of us just get together and be like, no more signings. You've got to promote Andreas Christensen now. I hope that's what happened.
Is there anything else you want to discuss quickly?
Yeah, I'm really excited by all of Southampton signings.
Surprised United didn't go in and get someone.
We've still got an hour left.
Yeah, that's not happening, is it? Marbes is the one that, as well, that I'm surprised hasn't been announced to someone.
Yeah,
at the beginning of the day,
he's been released from
on
Algeria.
The way to somewhere, but he's disappeared into the Bermuda Triangle.
I'll tell you what, can clubs stop doing these silly announcement things? I love the, I don't know if anyone's seen the thing Southampton did about Stuart Taylor signing a 1-year contract extension, where we just played up massively how ridiculous everyone's transfer announcements are. But we basically had like a whole thing with SWAT teams and helicopters landing, and then it's just Stuart Taylor sitting there sipping tea. I think more clubs need to join us in this and mocking this announced player. That's not even English anymore. Announced player. That is moronic. I've said these words a lot tonight. God, there's been a lot of stupid stuff in football.
I'd compare it to murdering people.
Do you know what? It's like when you murder someone and then you're like going to the police. I fucking did it. Jeez. Announced murderer. I'm tired.
I think we'll leave it there. So thanks for joining us again this week. Follow us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at V2Football. Check our website out at V2Football.com. It's a good night for me. It's a good night for the lads.
I think you should be nicknamed Taggart from now on.
Taggart.